Rightio, we're through the, preaching through the hope to offer, and Jesus has hope to offer, and we're preaching through, I think it's 10 weeks on hope to offer, and Nate's bringing in all kinds of cool guest speakers and over the weeks, and I've been blessed to share with you today. So, Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for those here. Lord, I thank you for those on holidays, all those happy campers we have, Lord. Bless them in their time away with their families. May they be refreshed and rejuvenated. I thank you for Iron and Clay, Lord. May they be refreshed by being here today, that they go out in great power with their ministries too. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Righty-o. If you've got a Bible, I handed the scriptures today to our guys on a bar coaster. That's part of the privileges of working in a, or preaching in a club. So, not only can a pink bats system for the whole of Australia get sorted on a bar coaster, but so can a message. So, Romans 15, 1-4, if you've got a Bible. Romans 15, 1-4. Hope through trials. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So those that are Christians nowadays, as we have heard and as we know today, and if you jump on social media a bit later, the world is very, very willing to tell you exactly what you believe about Christianity and what Christianity is and what your faith is and what you say to people, even before you say a word. But it's all right, because the Bible says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And we got hope. The Old Testament is a constant retelling of creation, fall, total calamity in a mess, and then restoration through God and his actions. He will either send a prophet, or he will send a king, or he will send a judge. But God restoring in the mess. And it just repeats over and over and over. And that's why we still hold on to the Old Testament, because it is a story of hope. Hope in the redemptive power of Christ. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we take what we've learned in the Old Testament, we see the trials and tribulations that they suffered, and then we go in our trials and tribulations, we believe so strongly that Christ comes through for people, because we saw God do it in the past, Christ does it today, he's even going to do it in our lives, and we share that hope. So even in turmoil, we have hope, because we're seen time and again in the Old Testament, in hopelessness, there is hope. Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat. Joseph got a vision. He shared it with his brothers. I'm just putting it out there. If you get a vision, maybe don't share it with your brothers. It didn't go well for him. So he shared it. He ends up getting hated on. He gets enslaved. He gets put down a big hole. He gets brought back out of the hole, which seemingly was nice, but it was into an enslaver's. They then took him, they bought and sold him. He went and worked for his owner. His owner's wife took a pass at him, and he rejected it, doing the honorable thing. She lied, blamed him, and he got thrown in a jail. This man had a vision from God, and he was an honorable man. But now he's in jail, not of his own doing. And what did he do there? He was faithful in jail. He didn't give up. He had hope. Because he knew that God is a deliverer, and he had hope. And then a vision came to the king, and the king was busy killing people who couldn't interpret the visions. And so when Joseph was known as a vision interpreter, he got brought up. He interpreted the vision. Long story short, Joseph was elevated by Pharaoh to not just oversee his palace, but ultimately the kingdom. And the interpretation of the original vision that got him in all this trouble was that one day Joseph is going to save Israel through one of the worst famines known to mankind at that point in time, and that his brothers would indeed come before him as they did, and his father did, and asking for that help. You see, God has a plan. And even through the trials and tribulations, God has a plan. And he had a plan for Joseph through that horrific life that he had up until he was released from it by Christ. And so we have hope to offer. We have hope to offer to the people of Barrisfield and the Hunter region. We've got hope to offer in these trials. I often wonder, in our hopes, how bad are our trials? How bad do we let it get before we offer them to God? Because sometimes our trials aren't as might not be quite as big that we're calling God in to help. We try and fix it and solve it on our own. Sometimes when we face the biggest trials in our life, like we're looking at mortality, or we're looking at absolute rack of ruin, or the breakup of a marriage, we're looking at really difficult times. It's in those times when they're almost a big enough problem to see God move in his great power. You see, you've got to understand, nothing is too big for God. Sometimes we might think our problems might be too big for God to move and intervene, yeah? But nothing is too big for God to move with great power and great might. So when we bring our problems before God, when we think that all hope is lost, we have hope to offer. We've got hope to offer because there are no problems that are too big for Christ to move in. Job is another great example. And when we look at the life of Job, we look at the scripture in Romans, which says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. See, Job was a really blameless man. He was a really, he was a wonderful man in the Old Testament. And it didn't record him sinning. It just recorded later on him having a bit of a to and fro with God, where he learned a really valuable life lesson. But he was really wealthy. And the enemy, the Satan, just said to God, look, Job only worships you because you've blessed him with fortune. Let me take that away from him. And so God allowed that to happen in his like all-knowing, all-powerful allowing it to happen. And it sounds a bit harsh, but he's done it to prove a point, and it's in the Word, so it's there for us to learn from. And so all his wealth got taken away, stolen by raiders. Then all of his children and his servants got killed. So he's lost his family now. He loses his health. He's reduced to sackcloth and ashes in the ground. His wife comes over and says, would you just curse God and die? Would you just curse God and die? Get it over and done with. Because this is depressing. You kind of wrecking my afternoon here. Would you just die? And then his friends come. And his friends blame him for everything. It's like, you have brought this misery upon yourself. Just repent. And he's like, but I haven't done anything. And for those of us that are married men, we understand. It's like, what am I doing? I haven't done anything. Ah. Don't tell Beck. I say that. Don't tell Beck. Don't tell Beck. That's just between you and me. Just between you and me. She is a blessed woman, I'm telling you. Right here. Alright. But even with Job, how to turn the crowd against you. But even she's a great woman. Anyway, how great are these words? So may the God of hope, Job, how good would it have been if his friends leant down while he's on the ground in ashes, covered in sores, and said, Job, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How powerful might those words have been? And ultimately, when Job cries out to God and is like, God, I don't get it. Haven't I not done everything that you wanted? Am I not blameless before you? What is it that you want me to repent of? And he's just, Job, how about I just be God? You just be Job, and just understand that you don't get to question me real well, because that ain't your role. I've got this, mate. I've got this. And then God restores him, but not just equal to what he did have, but over in abundance, greater than, because Job showed his faithfulness in that situation. You know, don't withhold good. See, God didn't withhold good in that time from Job. And the Bible calls us, don't withhold good from others when it's in our power to do it. I should be paid by Aldi as a spokesperson. You see, when you go to Aldi, I love shopping at Aldi because I get to rub shoulders with people in my heart, just people like me, except they go for New South Wales. But there's people like me. And so I'm there, and I'll tell you, four times in the last year, I've been at the back of a little aisle of the little conveyor belt thing, and there's dudes, and they're buying their groceries, but they're counting. They've got like $20, and they're counting, and it's like, all right, just tell me when I hit 20, because that's all I got. Count when I hit 20, and like, there was a dude there and last week, and he's doing that, and there's like a couple of people between me and the shop, and the teller couldn't care less. It was really funny. And the dude's like, she goes, right, you hit 20 now. And he had this like big jar of like thickened cream, and he's like, oh, okay, no, just stop there. I can't afford to get that. And like everyone kind of looks at the ground, and I'm like, what are we looking at the ground for? This is funny. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, dude, have a look at ya. You definitely don't need no thickened cream. You're getting a favor here, mate. You're getting a favor done. No, I didn't say that. But what I did do is what I did do was I bought the thickened cream. I just said, how much is that? And the checkout lady said, it's, $2. And I said, I'll buy it for him. And so I bought it for him. And he goes, what? You sure, mate? Like, it's like, yeah, this is like Australia. You know, the Bible says, this is what we do. We look after each other. And it's like the Bible says, when it's in your power, don't withhold good from others when it's in your power to act. And, like, I didn't go into a sermon. I didn't say, like, share the gospel with him at this time because we're in a line. I just did something that I could do, and he was appreciative, and he went on. And the point of it is God will use that incident somehow in that man's life to go, why would a total stranger at a shopping center, well, I mean, I'm probably getting a bit ahead of myself calling Aldi a shopping center compared to Green Hills, but at a shopping center, why would a stranger do that for me? And the point is, God will meet him as he, because the Bible says God doesn't hide himself from those who seek him. Like, God will use that incident. Never be afraid just to act if you don't feel, I don't know the right words to say. Just act. It's okay. God will fill in the rest. See, we're not smarter than God. We're not more powerful than God. God will fill in the blanks. We just act and it's okay. We're just not going to withhold good from those that we can do it for. Because we've got hope to offer. We don't have, all right, big guy, you don't need thickened cream to offer. All righty? Let him have his thickened cream. God bless him. He might have been making something really good with it. Like a donut or something. I don't know. No, it's probably a bit harsh. All right. So, being a Queensland supporter, let me take you back to early 90s, State of Origin. 79 minutes in, we're down 10 points to 12. And we've got the ball on our 20-meter line at 79th minute, and it's like, we're going to lose. Can't we just beat these guys at this time? Remember, there was a time when we didn't win everything. And it's like, what are we going to do? And Stephen Off gets the ball after we had 10 passes, and he makes a dash down the line. It's called the miracle try for a reason. And so it goes through another 10 sets of hands, and Coyne's running for the corner, and Ray Warren is losing his brain. He's like, Coyne, oh yeah! And Fatty's losing his brain, and it was fantastic. And he's like, that's not a try, that's a miracle. And Fatty's in a Sterlo, like, get that in here, Sterlo. And we won, and it was fantastic. You see, God is the God of miracles, and God is the God of hope. And so despite us losing our entire spine this year, God is a God of hope. And even though it's second games down in Sydney, Queensland have hope because we got a God of Queensland. If you turn with me, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19. Hope because Jesus is faithful. Chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You know, our price to pay in Australia is much reduced. Then we literally sponsor a church whose congregational members have been killed in Egypt. We sponsor that church. That's a price that they are paying. If you are a Christian in the Middle East, there is a price that you pay. If you are a Christian in North Korea or some of the outward Chinese churches, the home churches, there is a price that you pay. In some African nations, there is a price that you pay for being a Christian. Here, we got it pretty good. But as you know, social media might be, or public opinion as a Christian, that's probably the price you're going to pay if you fear to tread in social media. You know, knowing that, the Bible says, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. That's what Jesus is saying. It's okay. See, we got the gospel. And as we know, can we just not let the world tell the world what our gospel is? And it's okay if we get insulted but when we actually share the good news of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that the insults coming upon you when you share the gospel is actually leveled against Christ. So it's okay. But just let us be us who tell our gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not leave it to the world to tell us what we actually believe, because we don't believe what people say. Last night, I was watching, finishing off the sermon. I'm watching the Swans, my Swans team. We're season members and I'm having a ball. The rest of the family isn't. I'm forcing them down to Sydney every fortnight. It's fantastic. But it was Pride Round, Gay Pride Round, Swans versus the Saints. And it was amazing online how much criticism Christians were getting. I'm like, it's not our fault they're playing a game called Pride Round. And we're getting hammered. We were just copping it. No one even inciting. It was just kick a Christian day online. And the interesting thing was, is one guy, and something that's jumped out of me for a fair while with it all, is a lot of the criticism comes under the rainbow banner. And one guy just said, guys, you do know like the rainbow is like a promise of God symbol, and like the irony with this. And one dude's like, prove it. And it's like, oh, like Genesis 9, and here's the scripture, and have a bit of a read. And it's like, don't tell us what the promise of God is. Look, Genesis 9 says this. See, we have the truth. And the truth can be told from Christians. And it's okay. And when that dude was insulted, and I just thought, oh, well, he's like a floundering Christian getting attacked by every man and his dog. Here's just what the Bible says. There's no judgment in that. It's just literally the Bible. I'm not going to deny what the Bible says. The rainbow is a promise of God to Noah and his family. He's never, ever going to wipe out the world again through a flood. And it didn't. You'd be surprised. It didn't go well. It didn't go well. It just inflamed the situation. There's hope in trolling the trolls, all right, just for my own personal amusement. You know, I've been threatened at least 3 times with sacking at my workplace just for sharing the gospel online. And that's just what I know. Who knows? For 3 times. But I'm not afraid, because the insults levied against Christians are levied against God. And Jesus already bore them on the cross, and he was insulted by many. When Jesus, on the day of his crucifixion, he was getting punched, he was getting kicked, he was getting spat on. They made a false crown for him, put the crown of thorns on his head. See, the world was trying to tell Jesus at that point in time, Jesus, this is who you are. You're nothing. They made up a mocking banner, Jesus, the King of the Jews. So much so, the Romans thought it was hilarious, but the Jews didn't. They wanted it torn down. And the irony was, it's like, he was the King of the Jews because he's King of everyone. And the Romans were right. He was the King of the Jews. He was the King of everyone. And they spat at him. Who prophesied? Tell me who prophesied as they were punching him. He said the world was telling Jesus what Jesus believes and who Jesus was, but it wasn't true. And so when the world tells you, you have no hope to offer, Christian, it's not true. You have the hope. You have truth. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You'll be amazed online the number of times, like I must admit, I kind of find it amusing, but you'll be amazed how many times when you just share the gospel, just gently, people run and they throw insults at our faith. And then they delete all their comments really quickly when they realize that the Christian isn't going to go hide under his little rock and deny the truth. And they delete all their comments and then get off Facebook. I've seen it happen time and again, and it's amazing. So don't be afraid, okay? We're coming into a time where you just believing in the gospel of truth is going to be under attack for public thought and public opinion. But praise God, we're not facing what our sisters and brothers getting martyred in the Middle East, and we keep them in our prayers. In Romans 5, hope to offer, Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And Jesus provides us and the whole world with hope to offer. But the world critiques us, and the world tells us, this is what you believe. I have a school friend I grew up with, and he is a philosopher, and he's a university lecturer of philosophy. And one thing he loves to do is philosophize about Christianity and religion. He's even got a subject called the philosophy of religion. And in a nutshell, it just critiques the mental, the mental well-being of people that are Christians as to whether or not they are believing in some kind of rational thing, why we are wrong, and why all Christian doctrines make no sense in a really mocking kind of way. I looked into it. You can study that nowadays. In Australia, you can study how we're all wrong. And he's not a Christian, so he doesn't believe in it. And he's just telling everyone, go and study how we're all wrong. And he is in such, and I've shared it with him, he's putting himself in an incredibly dangerous position when you start to set yourself up as an intellectual superior above God. Because we know that the Bible says that the knowledge of the world is just foolishness to God. And God will humble those. And right now, I'm watching this poor man's life get humbled. His actual health and well-being is crumbling. And his eyes are closed to the truth of the gospel. And he's continuing to teach this philosophy of religion and tear it down and tear it to shreds. But, you know, God is not affected by a university degree or a course, because God sits above all. And for thousands of years, people have mocked Jesus Christ. And at his crucifixion, Jesus was mocked. And before that, Jesus and the gospel of during the Roman times and the persecution. But through all this, it develops character. It develops perseverance. It develops hope. And Jesus has hope to offer. And what we believe, we boast in that hope of the glory of God. You see, 1 Corinthians 3, 18-23, it says, do not deceive yourselves. This is our word of hope for the world. If you guys could just calm down for one moment and stop blaming us for everything in this world. Stop blaming Jesus and stop blaming God. And we're just thinking about this for a moment. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you shall become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All these things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. All the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ and Christ of God. And I'm going to wrap up with this scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 58. He said, We've got ultimate hope in eternal salvation, ultimate hope in eternal wellness, ultimate hope in an unfailing, never-ending, never-ceasing eternity. That's the hope that we offer. And feel free. I know the world tells you to shut up and not tell no one. Just get in your closet, Christian. That's where you belong. But how's that working out for your world? If the world's so perfect right now, how's it working out for you? Because that's the message you're telling the Church of Jesus Christ, to say nothing, get out of the marketplace of ideas, and go and sit in the sideline. But how's that working out for you? 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 58. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, death isn't our defeat by our enemy. It's our victory in Jesus Christ. So in our minds, if we're thinking that death is actually victory for Satan, not for the Christian, it's not. Our death is the victory for Christians in Jesus Christ. We are defeated Satan already. It's a defeated enemy. It's only a matter of time till Satan realizes he's defeated in each and every one of our lives, that our death is actually our victory. Here's a spoiler alert for you. 100% of the people that Jesus healed eventually died of something else one day later. Not literally one day, but eventually in their life, they all passed away. If your theology can't handle that, we need to get a new theology. The truth is, Jesus did heal. The truth is, eventually, they would die by something else down the road. And the truth here is that our hope isn't in a temporal healing of having a bad toe for me, or if I've got a cold, or if I'm not feeling well. The truth is eternity of salvation in Jesus Christ. We get that. Because it's true. They did die. So if that rocks your theology, we just need to get a new theology. Because our hope isn't in temporal healing, which happened, and we've seen it so often here, and it's such a blessing. Our hope is that God moves mountains, God makes miracles, and we have eternal salvation. And it's nothing that we do to strive for it. It's a free gift of grace. You know, even Jesus, when you're praying for people, keep praying for people. Even Jesus had difficulty in his hometown of healing people because they lack so much faith. So it's okay if our theology is that every prayer must lead to an immediate healing. We need a new theology because Jesus had difficulty himself. But we do it because God calls us to pray. The miracle comes from God moving in great power. But we're called to pray, and we pray. Trust God and leave the God stuff to God, and we'll leave us, the followers, to us being followers. Jesus Christ has the ultimate hope to offer in eternal salvation offered to us. Lord God, I thank you so much for the people in this room today. Lord, they are precious in your eyes. They are wonderful people. Lord God, I pray that you just bring abundance of blessing in their lives, that they would want to share some of the good things that you do, and ultimately, Lord, the hope in salvation. Lord, you are the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father but by you, Lord God. And I pray as we leave this week, we're going to have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not just online with those trolls that I love kind of stoking the fire with because it's fun, Lord, but in our workplaces, in our marriages, with our children, with our friends. Lord, that this region's going to see a great revival. Lord God, in our intercessory prayer, when we're praying, Lord, we're not praying for a cold. Lord, we're already claiming Green Hills, the billion-dollar construction for you, Lord. That's what we do, and we're believing the impossible. Because sometimes there are problems so big that we can't fix, but you can. Because they're infinitesimally small in your world. But we believe you can move mountains. And Lord God, I'm believing this day for the mountains in each and every one of these lives in this room. Mountains be moved in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand? I'm pretty confident Knight and Clay are going to do something.